Now, will you note here, this I think is very important for us to see. We have here sins of ignorance. I'm reading now verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. Now, these are sins of ignorance. The emphasis is here upon a sin that's committed in ignorance. Now, if a man sinned willfully and deliberately, this offering did not avail. You'll recall, the Scripture says, He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In other words, there was no salvation, and there is no salvation for a person today who willfully rejects Jesus Christ. And if you want an unpardonable sin, there's actually no act you commit. But if you willfully reject Him, which is a state, of course, and not necessarily an act, but if you do that, my friend, there's no remedy. And that is what he's saying here. Now, sins of ignorance, I think, reveals the underlying truth that man is a sinner by nature. I don't want to be ugly, but I must say this to you. My friend, you're a sinner whether you know it or not. You may not commit a sin, but you're a sinner. You've got that nature, and that's the reason we commit sin, is because we are sinners by nature. David says, In sin did my mother conceive me. Now, regardless, therefore, the estimation of any given time or custom, man is a sinner in God's sight. You and I are sinners by nature. We do those things that are contrary to God, and it's impossible for the natural man to do anything that'll please God. He doesn't have the capacity. He's a sinner by nature. And these sins of nature, and they are that, they are sins that must be called to our attention, because it's sin regardless of who commits it. And the sin offering gave a profound conviction of sin that stands out in the literature of the race as there's nothing to compare to it. The deep guilt complex of man must be diagnosed before an adequate remedy can be prescribed. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that is what I call getting on the Lord Jesus Christ's couch instead of going to the psychiatrist. A great many people with a guilt complex today go to the psychiatrist, and the impression is given that the psychiatrist or the psychologist has a skill that the Word of God does not reveal. I personally think that is a wrong impression to give. I believe that the Word of God contains the remedy today for man. And if you have your hang-ups and you are bothered with a personality complex, a problem, why don't you go, really, and get on His couch and cry out, Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And listen to David. He got up on God's couch and he confessed Psalm 51:4, Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. My friend, your problem, my problem, is not because that our mother didn't give us all the love we should have when we were a little stinking brat. Our problem is we're a sinner by nature. And the thing to do is to get up on God's couch and tell Him all about it. And if we did that, it'd be helpful. You see, the sins of ignorance were committed by a person who at the time didn't know that it was sin. Again, the psalmist, Psalm 19:12, Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Oh, how many of us need to go to God today and just confess that we're not in the world, but just low-down human beings. If you can't think of anything specially to confess, then just tell him that you want to confess because you're who you are. Mel Trotter tells about the time that he had a doctor on his mission board back in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they got down on their knees every Saturday morning. Each board member would pray, and this man always would pray, "Lord, if we've committed any sin, forgive us." And Mel Trotter got tired of him saying that little formula, that little Christian cliche you hear today. And Mel Trotter says to him, "Why don't you tell him what the sin is?" And this doctor said, "Well, I don't know what it is." And Mel Trotter says, "Well, why don't you guess at it?" And then Mel Trotter made the statement. He says, "You know, he hit it the very first thing. The very first time, he just hit it right. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Now, we need to go to him. If a man sins through ignorance, rashness, or accident, God made provision for his deliverance. God has a remedy for you. I don't care who you are. Then, in Numbers 35:11, it says, "Then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares." God has a city of refuge for you. When you commit a sin and you don't know what it is even, chances are you do. But if you don't, go and tell him you're a sinner. Listen to John. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, Paul explains the reason that he was the chief of sinners, and why he obtained mercy. 1 Timothy 1:13-15, "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I remember my dad died and I was 14. I was put in the business world. I got with the wrong crowd and I was out doing things, I'll be honest with you, that a man 25 years old was doing. And I was just 16 years old. And I'm not offering it as an excuse, but I really didn't know how bad it was. And then there came that day when I did come to Christ, and from that day to this, I look back and hate myself for what I did. Thank God, friends, there's a sin offering. He died, and I can go and tell him all about it. And I don't have to crawl up on somebody's couch and tell him. None of his business. But it sure is God's business. He dealt with my sin on the cross. Listen to the psalmist again. Psalm 32:5, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." You see, that lifts the guilt complex. But the sin offering even taught its own inadequacy. It had to point to someone else. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." That sin offering pointed to Christ, and it pointed the way to God's perfect satisfaction and forgiveness. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Vernon McGee, a sinner, can come into his presence with boldness. Why? Because Jesus was my sin offering. And it was for these sins of ignorance, even.